Good morning. Praise be to the Lord, and good to see all of you this morning. It has been said, sound mind in a sound body. So nap is prerequisite to sound body, the sound mind. So even though I went home to study, I needed that nap to get freshened up. Yeah, those who worked hard yesterday, good job. Place looks beautiful. And even though I only worked half of the time, I was telling the guys when I left, I did my double portion before I left. But I was not comparing with anybody. I was comparing with myself. Then usually I did double work yesterday. Then, well, anyway, let us... Time to pick on my wife. I've been married to Val 39 years. This October it will be 40 years. But one thing I can testify, knowing her for last 39 years, that Val is a saint. I didn't say she's an angel. She's a saint. I didn't say she's perfect, even though she's perfect in the sight of God. But she is a saint. Saint. Called to be holy. Set apart for God. Sanctified. That is the subject before us. Sanctification. Sanctified. Set apart for God. In our bylaws, in the statement of faith, under sanctification, the first sentence, there are three paragraphs in that statement of faith under sanctification. The first paragraph is about positional sanctification. Second is about practical sanctification. The third paragraph is about the conflict we face in our body while we have this new nature within us trying to please the Lord. Yet we have this body which the humanness, the nature which responds to still sin. So that conflict is presented. So the first sentence, we teach that every believer is sanctified, set apart unto God by justification, and is therefore declared to be holy and identified as a saint. Set apart for God. Declared to be righteous. And identified or called as a saint. That's why I said my Val is a saint. And she has many other saintly characters, but before God, she's a saint. How many of you are a saint here? Amen. So I can say, so you are a saint too. You know, in the Catholic Church, the saints are recognized and canonized through five steps. Number one, we had to be dead. 5 years after you have died, sometimes it takes, I think one person I was reading about took 1,100 years to canonize as a saint. That happened sometime in 780 and it was canonized in 1800 or 1900. Anyway, the first step is you had to be dead for 5 years. So the bishop of the diocese or the people in that could make a suggestion to the bishop to make an application on behalf of that person who is being considered for sainthood. Then the bishop would do an investigation. That is the first step. Then apply, put an application to the committee or the congregation for the causes of sainthood. The committee who do further investigation. So that time they are called the saint, candidate for the sainthood is called the servant of the servant of God. So the committee would do all the investigation and submit that to the Pope for approval. That is the third stage. In that stage, the Pope would do further investigation and do all the investigation about the heroic virtues of that person. And if Pope approves that, then that is called venerable. That is the third stage. Then there had to be a miracle. That's the fourth stage. That means someone has to intercede through that person who is being considered for sainthood. That means that person is in heaven, can intercede on behalf of that people to God. So a miracle means something needs to happen through intercession. So that is the fourth stage. That stage, that person is called blessed. Then the fifth stage is then another miracle needs to happen. That's two miracles needs to be confirmed. And finally, the canonization would take place. That's how a saint is recognized and canonized. But for us, we are saint the moment we are saved by the grace of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been declared a sinner to be a saint. Now, what is the basis? So that is sanctification. Sanctification is setting apart for God. I'll go more detailed into it, the concept of sanctification from Old Testament and New Testament, but it is setting apart for God. What is the basis of sanctification? So sanctification happens instantly, the moment of salvation. So sanctification has three aspects. So positional sanctification, then there is practical sanctification, then there's perfect sanctification. Positional, practical, perfect. That is the ultimate. So the practical has three stages. You are sanctified, the sanctification begins at the moment you are regenerated. So the practical sanctification has three stages. Practical sanctification begins at the moment you are regenerated or you are saved. So if there is no evidence of regeneration or sanctification, no evidence of sanctification or holiness, another word for sanctification is to be holy, set apart. There's no evidence of holiness, the fruit of obedience, then that person is not regenerated. Okay? So the three stages of practical sanctification is it begins at the moment you are regenerated, then it continues throughout your life. That is progressive sanctification. So it has a beginning and it continues. So it is progressive. So practical sanctification is called progressive sanctification. Then the ultimate completion is also the third type we initially looked, that is the ultimate. That happens when you die and your soul is sanctified perfectly. It is before God is perfect, but that moment our soul become perfect and our body would be perfectly sanctified at the time of rapture or resurrection. I think you got that. This is the outline we are going to follow in these things. But sanctification happens, the basis of sanctification is what? What is the basis of sanctification? I will read from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, and also verse 11. Hebrews 10, verse 9 and 11. Let me read from verse 8 to 14. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So what is the basis of our sanctification? The position of sanctification, or the any sanctification. The offering of Christ's body is death on the cross of Calvary. So verse 11, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made footstool for his feet. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. By one offering of himself, Christ perfected us who are being sanctified. Perfected us, that means sanctified us, but we are being transformed. So you see the past, I mean the positional, we are perfect through his death on the cross, but we are being sanctified. That is progressive. That begins at that moment, then continues. It grows. In that growth, it's just like a graph. It goes up and down, but the graph goes up. There's an increase of Christ-likeness. So sanctification, the practical sanctification also we can call growing in Christ-likeness. Growing in Christ-likeness. So the basis, I have many other verses I can read to show the basis of our sanctification is Christ's death on the cross. On the cross. So what happens when Christ died on the cross? What happened? We know that there was imputation. We went through that last time when Jeremy went through that when doing the justification, right? So in imputation, what happens? Let me see if I can get this. Let me grab this here. Oh. So in imputation, we know that Christ is perfect. Christ is perfect. So Christ's righteousness, God's righteousness is with Christ. So let me put this here. This is Christ. And here I am with all my sins. Thousands and thousands and thousands of sins I have ever committed is written in this book, or it's here. We read in Isaiah 53 verse 6 that all we have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. But God laid on him. On whom? On Jesus. All our iniquities. Second Corinthians 5:21 we read, the one who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might have what? The righteousness of God, which was in Christ. So what was in Christ? There was a transaction. That is imputation. Our sins were imputed to Christ, and his righteousness, God's perfect righteousness, was on Christ. We read in John 17 that I sanctify myself for the sake of us. And Christ to us, he had the perfect righteousness of God in him. So you ask why Jesus died on the cross? Because of my sin, your sin. All of it, last drop of it. When he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? God could not look at our sins. He turned away. He was rejected. He was rejected in our place. He took all our rejection. He died our death on the cross. That imputation. Now, here we have Christ's righteousness. Now, regeneration. That was the first thing we studied, right? Born again. What is another word for born again? Born from above. Born of God. So regeneration. A new creation. We have been made new. A new nature is given to us. A life of God is given to us. Romans, we read that. So in that imputation of righteousness, all these things have been given to us. So before we've been born again, we know that before the foundation of the world, what happened? We have been elect. Elect before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, we read, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be what? Holy and blameless. That holy word is sanctification. So we have been elected for the purpose of what? Sanctification. God elected us. God chose us for the purpose of sanctification. And we have other scripture verses too. Romans 8:29 says, we have been called, those who have been called are predestined to conform to the image of Christ. So we have been called, predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That was given to us positionally when we were saved, but we are in the process of attaining that throughout our life. There's a continuous progression in that. So we are elect. Now, those who are elect are born again. Because of what? The righteousness of Christ is in us. We have a new nature. We are born from above. We are born of God. So because of the righteousness of God in us, we have been declared righteous, justified. So those who have been justified, that means, so justification is a court term, a legal term. When a judge sitting in a court, he hears all the evidences against a person and he makes a decision. either condemned or just. Either guilty or condemned, or not guilty, righteous. Did that judge make that person guilty, or did that judge make that person condemned? Did that judge make this person righteous? No. The evidences judge examined, and this person was already condemned. Now, based on the evidence, the judge declared guilty, or judge declared righteous. So justification is, we have been declared righteous. Why we are righteous? Because of the righteousness of Christ in us. That is what's given to us through imputation. Because of the righteousness of God in Christ was given to us, we are justified. We are declared as righteous. Now those who are declared as righteous are sanctified, set apart for God. Now what is the purpose of our living existence? For God. That's the sole purpose. Not 5% for God, 10% for God. It is 100%. That concept we can see in the Old Testament, but I'll show that concept. It is for God. Now, when we understand we are set apart for God, something for God's purpose, sole purpose. But before that, let me take away sanctification from this process. Is there election? Oh, there is election. Is there election if I take away sanctification? No election. There is no sanctification. If there is no holiness, there is no sanctification. I mean, election. If I take away sanctification, is that person born again? Regenerated? Born from above? Born of God? No sanctification? This never happened. If that never happened, that person is never elect. If I take sanctification away, is that person justified? No. So there is no. If there is no, where there's no sanctification, no election. Where there no sanctification, no regeneration. Where there no sanctification, no justification. And we can go on to say that where there no sanctification, no conversion. Conversion is repenting and turning to God. That never happened. If there's no sanctification or holy life, then no election. We are not those who are not. So what is the evidence of election? What is the evidence of regeneration? What is the evidence of justification? Sanctification, holiness. So we cannot say that, but we cannot say that, I am elect, I am saved, I am regenerated, I'm born again, I'm justified. But there is not an inkling of, not an ounce of sanctified life. That sanctification starts at the moment we are saved. There should be evidences. There may not be, there may be lots of, in the case of Corinthians, they had the gifts of the Spirit, but they didn't show much evidence, but still they were saved. They were sanctified. God called them saints. Jesus, Paul wrote to them, they were saved. So that some of you were like that. Now you are sanctified. But if a person has no evidence of sanctification, then we cannot say that person is ever saved, never elected, never been regenerated, never been justified. If there is sanctification happen, we are being set apart for God. That sanctification is progressive one. That has a beginning. That grows more like Christ's likeness. That fruit of the Spirit should be evident. And fruit of regeneration should be evident. If that is not there, then it's a fake tree. Cut it down. That's what the Master said. Cut it down. It's a fake tree. So you understand how important that we need to grow in our sanctification. Now the concept, what is sanctification? Sanctification is set apart to God by justification, declared to be holy, identified as a saint. It is instantaneous sanctification. Yet, the completeness of sanctification is not instantaneous in a practical sense. That takes all our life. In the presence of God, before God, we are perfect. We are sanctified. We are made holy. We have been set apart for God. In Ephesians chapter 2, don't have the time to go there, we know that. We have been dead in our sins and trespasses. And we lived in the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air, whose spirit is working among Gentiles or unbelievers. And we were naturally children of wrath. But God, because of his great mercy, because of his great love for us, what happened? God, we were dead, made us alive, raised us up with Christ. Then what happened? Seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. Who is in heaven? Is any sin or sinner can be found in heaven? No. You have to be perfect to be in heaven. Heaven is a place of perfection, holiness. It is God's abode. If you had to be placed in heavenlies, in the heaven, then that means what? We are perfect. We are perfect. So that is positional sanctification, right? So how the sanctification set apart for God, that concept, let me develop that concept a little bit. In the Old Testament, what do you understand the word sanctification in connection with the Old Testament? People, things, places. Well, there are Old Testament word sanctify or holy or set apart for the Lord that implies or signifies setting apart to sacred purposes or to consecrate and have various applications in the Old Testament. Set apart to God, that's what it means. We read in Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. Let me go there for a second. Exodus 13, verse 1. We read, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify me to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb, among the sons of Israel, both man and beast, it belongs to me. The firstborn of Israelites and their beast, the animals belong to God. That was set apart to God. So the firstborn son at that time would become the priest. The priest representing that family, that was before the Levites were set apart for God's purpose. So this was the firstborn son would be set apart or sanctified for the purpose of God's purpose. And the animals also, if it was a clean, then it is sacrificed to God. If it is an unclean animal like a donkey or something, it needs to be redeemed by a lamb. That shows that unclean, like we were Gentiles, were redeemed by the blood of the lamb. And later provisions were made to redeem with the money too. But the firstborn belongs to the Lord, right? Then Aaron and his sons, then Levites were separated, the tribe was separated for God's purpose. Aaron and his sons were sanctified, set apart for God's service. We can read that in Exodus. I'm not going there, I don't have time. Exodus 28, 41, Exodus 30, 30, Leviticus 8, 30. All these portions we read that Aaron and his sons were set apart for God. They had no other business than serving the Lord. That was their serve the Lord. The idea of sanctification or holiness is applied to things. What are the things? This idea is applied in the Old Testament. There are vessels. There are vestments or garments. The priest wore. They were set apart, sanctified for God's purpose. And there were places. The holy land, what is the holy means? Set apart, that is sanctified land. The holy city of Jerusalem, the holy temple mount, the holy tabernacle, the holy temple, the holy Sabbath, holy solemn feast, holy days. Everything is set apart for, because there was a connection with God, a relationship to God. And also the majestic glory of God's presence. They were in the presence of God. You know, the sanctification and sanctuary has the same root word. Sanctuary, the holiest of holies. Those are the presence of God is there. So the idea that these things are set apart, sanctified for God. And they were set apart for God. For God, and also there was a continuous cleansing. Ceremonially needs to be cleansed for the use. The priests were set apart for God. So now, we are sanctified when we were saved. We were elected to be sanctified. And also we read interchangeably that we were elected through sanctification. And also 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 where we read that we were elect. And through the sanctification of the Spirit by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So the triune God is elected by God, sanctified by the Spirit. So we are sanctified for the purpose of holiness as well as we are elected for the purposes of sanctification and holiness, and also we are sanctified. We are sanctified. The Spirit sanctified us before even we were born again. That concept emerges in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2. So that shows God's election. So if we are set apart for God, so these concepts apply to Old Testament places, things, and people. They have been set apart for God the moment we have been saved or converted, or the purpose we have been elected to be sanctified. The moment we have been justified, what was the purpose of all those things? For set apart to be for God. So let me ask a question again. What is the purpose of our existence? For God. In the New Testament sense, we are priests unto God. Everyone, man and woman, we are, every child of God is a priest. We are set apart for God, God's purpose. The concept we see in the New Testament, that 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. We exist for the glory of God. We are here for the purposes of God. We are here to serve the Lord. In many capacities we can carry that out. So we have been saved for His glory. More than we have been saved to go to heaven, we have been saved for the praise of His glory. That is the reason He elected us. That is the reason He regenerated us. That is the reason He imputed that righteousness to us and regenerated us and justified us and sanctified us for His purpose. Everything we do, eat or drink like a menial thing, everything we do, we sleep or we awake, we get up in the morning, whatever we do, where we go, everything has a connection with God, in relation to God, for His purpose. Sometimes we lose that purpose. We give a part time or part of us. Everything we do must have a connection to the Lord. We are not, because we are the sanctuary of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and also we dwell in Christ. He is our sanctuary, God. So we could never detach ourselves from God. We are sanctified positionally for His purpose. If you have been sanctified for that, you have been separated, you have been made holy, then that is our stand, and our state should balance our stand. Our condition now, our inner condition, that means we must increase in our Christ likeness, in our sanctified life, in our holiness. In the New Testament, hagiasso is the word, the Greek word used for sanctification, to make holy, purify. We read a hallowed in the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, who art in heaven. What is that? Hallowed be thy name. That word hallow is sanctified. Maybe your name. Holy be your name. Then, so in the New Testament sense, we ascribe holiness to God. In that sense, we ascribe holiness or sanctification to someone. And also, it means to separate from profane things to and dedicate to God. Consecrate things to God. Dedicate people to God, to purify ourselves. To purify internally by renewing the soul. To separate from ordinary for sacred purposes, or setting aside for God. Now all these terminologies I have used for one purpose, to get one point across, that we have been saved for God's purpose. We have been elected, chosen by an eternal sovereign God for His purpose. We have been regenerated for His purpose. We have been declared righteous for His purpose. We have been being set aside for his purpose. And that should be evidenced everywhere. Everywhere. Eat or drink, whatever we do, in our relationship within the church here, we are sanctified, separated unto God for his purpose. In our marriage, it is for the glory of God more than it is for our own benefit. In our every area of relationship, separated to God. Now this sanctification, so we saw the positional sanctification which we have been given, and practical sanctification, it begins at the moment we have been given that positional sanctification, and it grows in Christ's likeness. So sanctification is defined as the gracious, continuous operation of the Holy Spirit by which he delivers the justified sinner from the pollution of sin, renews his whole nature in the image of God, and enables him to perform good works. Another definition of sanctification, practical sanctification, or progressive sanctification, is the inward spiritual work that Lord Jesus Christ works in a man or a woman by the Holy Spirit when he calls him to be a true believer. So what are the means of sanctification? The basis is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And the purpose, we are elect for the purpose of sanctification. We have been imputed righteousness for that purpose. We have been regenerated for that purpose. We have been declared righteous for that purpose. So basis is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the means of progressive or practical sanctification? How do we grow in our holiness? How do we grow? The Word of God, number one. And the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, of course, then he takes the Word of God and transforms us. So let me go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." So when we behold the face of our Lord Jesus Christ in the mirror of the book of the Word of God, when we open the scriptures and look into the scriptures, whose face we see? The face of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we meditate on the Word of God, when we memorize the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, then we are willing to be obedient to the Word of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God which we memorized, which we studied, which we read, and change us into the image which we saw in the book, which was reflected in the book. What was reflected in the book was the image of Jesus Christ. As we study, meditate, read, memorize, we are being changed into his likeness. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God are the means by which we are changed into his likeness. And also, it is a work of God. It began with God and it continues with God. The Spirit of God is not going to change us. Nobody is going to be changed. But we need to cooperate. The progressive sanctification is God's work, but we have a part in it. We need to cooperate. That means we need to be submissive. We need to be obedient. We need to consider and count. Romans chapter 6 is all about practical sanctification, the progressive sanctification. Let's go back there for a second. Romans chapter 6 we read. The question asked to us, what shall we say then? Are we continue to sin so that grace may increase? You have been elect before the foundation of the world. You have been regenerated. You have been given the righteousness of God. You have been declared righteous. You have been set apart for God. Would you continue to sin? Can we continue to sin? No. No. That is the question Romans 6 says. May it never be. That means an emphatic no. How shall we, then it says verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So we have a responsibility. Verse 6, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Our body is died with Christ when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died, we died with him. But that must be applied. We read that we crucify our old man. Then verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. We need to consider, we need to count, we need to apply that truth in our everyday life. Then verse 12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of the body, your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. So do not present the members of our body to unrighteousness, in that we lived once before we were saved. But now we have been given a new nature. So present yourself to God as those alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We need, that is our part. We need to say no to sin, and we need to obey, become slaves of righteousness to God. Verse 16, do you not know when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. So when we obey sin, what happened? Resulting in death. And when we obey righteousness, in obedience, that results in righteousness. So obedience is the key. It is the word of God and the spirit of God helps us to be more like Christ. But we need to cooperate with God's work. Then verse 19, I'm speaking human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So how do we grow progressively more like the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we grow in our practical sanctification? Present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So it is a supernatural work of God. And Our body, our spirit, our soul, and our body all are touched by this work. Everything. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we read that, may God sanctify you in your spirit, soul, and body. That we need to increase. It will touch our will, our passions, and understanding, the will, passions, and conscience. This sanctification has two parts. One is mortification of the old man, the body of sin. That means we need to crucify the old man, the mortification. And the second part is the quickening of the new man, who is created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we need to continually say no, need to crucify the old man, and we need to be alive to God and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. So if there is no evidence of sanctification in us, then we are not elected. Then we are not imputed righteousness. Then we are not regenerated. Then we are not justified. So what is the single most evidence that we are all of the above? What is the evidence that we are children of God? There has to be some evidence. A tree is known by its fruit. And there's no fruit. The Lord said, cut it down. It's a fake tree. We are sanctified, we are set aside, we are saint and called to be saint. But our stand should match with our state, our present condition. And we must grow in that sanctification. The word of God very clearly says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That is an imperative given to us. We cannot say, oh, I'm sanctified once for all. That's true. But we have been given a responsibility to grow in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And according to 1 John 3:2, the perfect sanctification will happen to our body when he comes. When he appears, we shall be like him. Everyone who has this hope, what? Purify or sanctify or make himself holy as he is holy. We are saints. We need to live like a saint. We need to live like a saint. We know that if it's a duck, it walks like a duck. And if we are saints, we need to live like a saint. Sanctified for God's purpose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who by his death, by his one offering, perfected us once for all. And we are perfect in your sight. But we have been given time on the face of the earth. We have been given opportunities to reflect you on the face of the earth, to grow in Christ's likeness for your glory. You have saved us for the praise of your glory to ages to come. Yet we have a responsibility here to praise your name through our lives. Help us, Lord. Help us to live a sanctified life. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.